If you're struggling to make payroll every week, how can you grow the business? Because you're worrying about the fires you're putting out. But if the fires are out, you can think about growth. You can think about 3 years or 5 years down the road. That's what I think money allows you to do. They say profit is the fuel. It's not the destination.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. Today, I have Julia and Gino here, and man, I'm excited. This is my first ever couple interview, so this is going to be a blast. How are you guys?
Doing great,
amazing.
Brad.
Thanks
for having us on.
Oh, thank you for being here. So I always start with a hard-hitting question. I want to get right to the meat of it for our listeners. How does your view of money or one's view of money affect your personal relationships and overall happiness?
I'm going to let Julia take this question because if I start, I'll talk for the next 20 minutes because I love talking about money.
But you, Julia, do love talking about money. I think that's why I was so hesitant on having a positive view of money. I mean, it depends on your upbringing, right? My upbringing, just real quick, Irish background. I'm not going to say it, but money is evil in a sense where you have to give it away. And so that's what I was used to. You can't have too much because then you become prideful and arrogant and all that stuff. And so when I met my husband, I'm like, oh, okay, well, he's not none of those. And over the years of being married, 25 years, six children, I just probably about 4 or 5 years ago, my husband talked about what financial freedom was. And to me, that meant money equals happiness. And I just disagreed with it. And so I just left it at that. And so we did disagree on a lot of things. Like, I didn't like that he always bought properties and making more money. And because I thought that meant money equals happiness. And I realized that it doesn't. And it was okay that we had two different views. And it took quite a long time, about 20 years of marriage, to actually have that conversation. Because I didn't even know to have it. I just assumed everyone had the same view of money. And so when I really thought about it and we talked about it and actually had a good conversation about it where he listened, I spoke, you know, I didn't hold back. I realized that it wasn't that at all. And that money was okay to have. What you did with it, what was the big thing for me. And for me, it was just experiences, what we could do with other people in that experience. And so the more money we made, the more we got to experience things with family, friends, and people we don't even know. And so I think it changed a lot, but it's just that open communication we never had, right?
Brad, to me, on this journey that I've had over 25 years with my wife, I've had a lot of epiphanies with money. But a couple of years ago, I read the book, The Psychology of Money. And what money summed up to me in that one word in that book was money leads to autonomy. And I think autonomy leads to happiness. Julie and Gina are on the podcast right now because we can be, because we choose to be, we want to be. That's what money allows you to do. It gives you the optionality. When I was at the restaurant years ago, I had that one stream of income. I didn't have the optionality. I didn't have the autonomy. I need to be there Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock cleaning shrimp every Tuesday because that's what I needed to do. But once I had the autonomy through real estate to be able to do certain things and to be able to lead a more impactful life, that's what money allowed us to do. I think it's just a result. I think we get really caught up, become really emotional. When you say the word money, everyone just starts to tense up. But if you really understand what money is, it's just a tool. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to achieve autonomy in your life when you can make decisions for yourself and money just allows you to make decisions. I'll give you one quick example. We flew to Italy this 2 weeks ago. Now there's eight of us on an airplane. I had the option of flying back on Delta One. It wasn't a cheap option and I wouldn't have done it a few years ago because I had this scarcity mindset with money. But why are we making money? We're trying to enjoy our lives. And what I would say with money is if you've got a problem and you've got money and money solves that problem, then you really don't have a problem. That's how my evolution of money has evolved over the last 25 years, from one of scarcity to one of really an abundance mindset, and money's there as a tool.
So what is Delta One?
Oh, Delta One is like you're flying like front seat. You're basically touching the pilot. You're sitting down. You're lying down. It's like first class.
Complete flat. Like you lie flat and you watch TV. And my little kids, my little ones are like literally, I'm like, are you in there? Where are you?
It's a great experience. Yeah. If you've never done it before, blow some money on it.
It's beyond first class. I'll just tell you that.
It's a great experience. Yeah. I mean, that's something that I wouldn't have done years ago. But I'm saying to myself, we're saving this money. We're spending this money. Let's enjoy the money. And that was one of the hurdles with me is making all this money and then feeling guilty about enjoying the money. That was the other thing I think that me and my wife were really hung up on as well.
So were the opposing viewpoints that you guys had on money, was it Julia, if I can recap this right, and if it's not, tell me, that you thought money was evil and Gino, you thought money brought you happiness?
I think so. I think that's a good analogy. I thought the more money I made, the happier I'd be. And
But at the same time, the more money you made, the more you had to save. And so it was that, oh my gosh, we got to save just in case feeling. And so it was a scary feeling. You keep making more money and you keep saving it. So what's the point of making it? I was fine before. You know, what's the point of working so hard if you're not going to be able to not so much enjoy it, but like I said before, when we started talking about this, we started flying because we moved from New York to Florida. Like we devastated our children. we left everyone we knew for a new beginning, a new start. And we started flying people down to Florida and like bringing them to Disney. And all you parents know how much that costs. So we would just all of a sudden just do little things that we never could have done before. Just giving these people opportunity experiences that made a difference in their life and in our life. And I'm like, all right, this is okay. It's okay. You know, that fear of if you make too much, you're a bad person type of. And I know a lot of people feel that way. And it's what you do with that money. It's how you impact other people's lives that can make a huge impact on them.
So my mom growing up used to say filthy rich. And about a year ago, I said to her, I go, why did you say filthy rich? And she was stumped. She was like, I don't know why, but it was if you had money, you were bad. So Gino, what was it? Did you get rid of the scarcity mentality around money? And if so, how did you do that?
Brad, for me, one of the things that two immigrant parents always saving for the rainy day, even now, I find it hard to spend money on myself on certain luxuries like a car because that car is not producing income for me. So why am I going to spend $100,000 on a vehicle where it's an asset, but it's depreciating, but it's a constant work in progress. I'm always working with my relationship towards money and it just doesn't go away overnight. It takes time. Sometimes one of our life coach friends, Phil McKernan, says, you just need to sit with it. We're always trying to look for solutions. I need to have that emotion sit with me for a little while and make me think emotionally, well, if I lose that money or I spend it on a thing, shouldn't I enjoy it? Isn't it worth doing it? So it is a work in progress. My default is to save and to continue to buy assets. But now I can enjoy money. That's just on me. If it's it for my kids or my wife, I'll blow all the money in the world. But for myself,
well, that's new.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because now I can do it. Now I can afford it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be, but for myself, even now, as I see right now, I mean, yeah. I want to buy something. It's really, it can be a challenge.
It's an ongoing. I have to say, it's an ongoing. Like Gino said, you don't just figure out what you think of money. Even like when you're trying to buy something, it's that immediate feeling like, okay, I'm just going to cheap out because I don't really need it. It's not going to bring me happiness. I have to go down all that list. And it's like, okay, do I need this? Okay, I do need it. So I'm going to buy quality. I'm going to make sure it's good, whatever it is. If we're buying a couch, if we're buying, I'm not going to cheap out on something we're going to keep for years. One of those things that I have to, and my husband as well, it's a constant conversation. And it's good to have an open conversation. It's okay to argue. And it's okay if my husband's like, listen, we don't need that right now. Maybe I want to redo the kitchen. He doesn't want to right now. That's happening. An ongoing Brad, conversation.
That kitchen's not happening. There's no ROI in that thing, Brad. I'm telling you that right now. I am not living in a demoed kitchen.
So exciting.
Yeah. That's exciting.
The final project.
5 minutes, baby. Yeah.
You always have to have an ongoing conversation because for many, many years, we just didn't talk about it. And it is a strain on the marriage. Money is a strain because we don't know each other's view and they do change. So my view years ago compared to now is very different, but it will be different in 5 years from now.
Oh my gosh, you guys have said so much stuff. We could make this 30-minute podcast like 3 hours. I love it. Money continues to be one of the things I struggle with most. I've gone through a major life transformation and went from being unworthy to finding my worthiness. But yet money, I've made leaps and bounds. But me growing up, my father showed me love through money. He didn't show me through love and affection or showing up to things. He showed me through money. And my mom had this major and still has this major scarcity mindset. So I had this conflicting views of money. So both of my marriages that didn't work out, money was a big component. It was a source of issues. So I can relate to that. You said something, Gino, really profound. And you said that someone told you that when you have these feelings, you just sit with them. That is a lesson that can be used not just with money, but with every single feeling. Most human beings, when they feel that pain or that feeling, it hurts and they want to go buy something or they want to go smoke the weed pen or drink a bunch or have sex or whatever their addiction is. But those are all short-term fixes. The only way you truly deal with anything is to sit with it and process it inside, right? So really cool, really good job there. And one more question on this, I'm rolling here. You mentioned earlier that money brings you autonomy that brings you happiness. I don't think you're saying that's all that brings you happiness. But if that's the case, if money brings you autonomy and brings you happiness, when we look at the Amy Winehouses of the world and the princes of the world, how didn't it work for them?
That's a great question. So I should probably say it for myself and for the average person. When you're out there investing and you're trying to get an ROI, what you're trying to do is you're trying to create money, and that financial freedom will lead to the autonomy. And I think that's one of the things that I think all of us as humans are striving for, to be able to make decisions for ourselves. When we can decide to do something, not work today or work, or go out and find another job, or just sit home and sing opera and do what you want to do. Money allows you to do that. Let's be honest. We have our bills. If we have money set aside and we can pay those bills, it's fine. As far as a lot of those actors, you can see it's such a recurring pattern. They're damaged individuals. They have no financial intelligence to begin with, right? And the money is actually doubly bad for them because all of a sudden they become irresponsible. They start blowing money. Then they start going down that rabbit hole of other bad activities. And I think money just perpetuates and just brings out the qualities of a person. If you're a good person and you make money, you're just going to amplify their goodness. If you're an evil person or a bad person and you make money, I think it's just going to amplify that as well. So when you look at a lot of the Hollywood, a lot of elites, their money blueprint, their financial blueprint, that's not why they got into it. They don't know how to manage money. They don't know how to deal with money. They're financially illiterate, a lot of them. So to them, I really don't.
Can I add something to that? Maybe similar, but not really. Every Christmas, I ask my kids what they want. And they actually have to sit and think for, I mean, it's weeks sometimes where they're trying to figure out what they want. And all the other parents are like, really? Because my kids have a big list. And I had to think about that. I'm like, what is that? What does that mean? And you mentioned your parents, Brad. And I remember growing up, I always wanted stuff. I want stuff. And I would get the stuff. And then it's like, okay, what's next? What do you have next? And I came to terms, I realized, I read a lot, I talked to a lot of people, is that we don't want stuff. We want them to love us. We don't want to be bought. We don't want things to make us happy. We just want to know our value and our worth. And I think that's what's missing in Hollywood, is that these people don't know their value. They don't know what they're worth. Tomorrow we could go bankrupt and I'd still be happy. Why? Because I know I'm worth it. I know I have value. And I think that what's missing in society nowadays is that we don't teach our children or we don't show them love without stuff. That makes sense.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think the lack of self-worth, when you have a lack of self-worth, in my opinion, it doesn't matter if you make $10 a year or $100 million a year, because Prince didn't die broke. I think he had a fortune because they fought over his fortune, his family. So he may have been a bad money manager, but he had a lot of money, right? Mm-hmm. So why did he die? It goes back to that self-worth. And yeah, so money may bring you autonomy, but if you have a lack of self-worth, the autonomy does you no good, right?
Yes, you're right. Yes, that's a great point. I think so, yeah. I'm just trying to make people understand why to become financially free. That's why we're trying to earn all that money, because for me, that autonomy, that's not to lead to happiness, obviously, because if you have other issues in your life, but if you're taking that off the table and not having to worry about pay the rent every month and not having to worry about put food on the table, that's one huge line item that's off your mind and you're able to create. It's like a business. If you're struggling to make payroll every week, how can you grow the business? Because you're worrying about the fires you're putting out. But if the fires are out, you can think about growth. You can think about 3 years or 5 years down the road. That's what I think money allows you to do. They say profit is the fuel. It's not the destination. I think that's what money is. Money is the fuel. It's not the end result. Money is what able to fuel the rest of your life.
Agreed. I think they've done studies that once you have your needs met, $80,000, after that, pick a number anywhere around 80,000. Mm-hmm. Whether you make 800,000 or 8 million, it doesn't matter. As long as you have your needs met, you know your bills are paid, then it comes back to the self-worth thing.
Yes.
And I know a lot of entrepreneurs, including myself, got into business because they thought, if I can make a lot of money, I'll be worthy and I'll find happiness. Mm-hmm. And if you think your business is going to bring you happiness and worth, it never will. It doesn't matter how much money you make. So it's like, why do I work with people who could retire today, but they work at the expense of their relationships because they don't feel enough. And when you don't feel enough, nothing is ever enough, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
Love that point.
Absolutely.
So when two partners like yourself have differing views on money, what are some common challenges that they face and how can they navigate them?
Well, for me as a mom, I do stay home. I have six kids. So some of them are adults now. Homeschooling, the whole thing. There are times where I'm like, how much are you going to work? Like, I'm going to just put it out there. And I know a lot of women ask the same question to their husbands, is we moved down to Florida so he could retire. And here we are. So just putting it out there. No, it's when is it enough? And that's always my thought. It's always another deal. It's always another, maybe an idea with another podcast. And I know my husband loves to work, but that is a constant conversation that we do have. And I know a lot of spouses have that as well. What can you add to that?
So Brad, this is coming from a woman who on August 30th, 1998, got married and became financially
and
free.
And who was the smart one?
That was the day that she became financially free. And this is the same woman that says to me weekly, I was thinking,
I
got an idea. So all that means is, Gino, there's more work. So it's not just Gino that likes to work. It's Julia that likes to work. And when you become financially free or you have that relationship with money, you're not working just for money. Mm-hmm. You're working for impact. You're working for fulfillment. I love the Jake and Gino community and the Jake and Gino brand and the Julia and Gino show and the books we've written because I know it's created impact. it created purpose for my life. I love it when a student emails me and says, I closed a deal or I quit my W-2 job. Doesn't matter how much money I've made. I get that email. That makes me happy. So how do I become better at that? I become better at that skill set. I end up making more money, but it's not about the making the money. When you're not financially free, you're chasing money. When you are financially free, you're chasing opportunity that leads to money. Those are the epiphanies that I've had with money. And if I really love my job and I'm really good at it, I'm just going to make more money.
I think those are awesome points. You also can be financially free and be chasing money because you're chasing your worthiness and you're chasing your happiness.
Yes.
If you're listening to this and you are financially free, you have enough money that you don't need to work, but you're working at the expense of your relationships with your spouse and with your children. I was one of those people that was not aware. That wasn't me. I had other issues. I was working and I took these crazy risks to try to make my worth. There's a lot of workaholics out there and it's just another addiction. Work is their addiction. What we talked about running from that pain, it can be such an addiction and it can be just as destructive as cocaine or weed or anything. So if you're sitting here and you're like, wait, you're listening to this and you're like, I work a ton. My wife doesn't like how much I work. My kids miss me. And you're thinking you've got doing this for more financial independence. It may be because of worthiness and you may not even know. There's an easy way to figure this out in 3 minutes and 12 questions. Go take my self-love quiz at bradchandler.com/quiz. If you score lack of self-love or mild self-love and you're working a ton, there is a good chance that that work is your addiction. And if you get your hands around it, you will never find peace and happiness because until you can figure out or come to the truth that you are enough, no amount of money will ever satisfy you.
Love that I so agree. Much. That is awesome.
Take the self-love quiz, bradchandler.com/quiz right now. 12 questions, 3 minutes, worth your time.
It is. It could literally be the first step to changing your life because I didn't have awareness. And when you don't have awareness, how can you change, right?
I think you're trying to make more money to say, good job. You did a good job. You said it's an addiction. I mean, I get like that too, even with my mothering. I mean, it doesn't matter if I don't make money, obviously. But at one point, I'm like, how much stuff can I do for my family? We're at the point where I'm like, I'm running ragged trying
to stop, baby. Yeah, please don't stop. Keep running ragged. I like when you run ragged.
My question is, am I doing it for my feeling of worthiness or am I doing it for out of charity? So you're constantly asking yourself, you're constantly asking these questions. And I love that quiz.
Yeah. Curiosity. Instead of judging yourself, so many Americans and entrepreneurs and human beings around the world wake up. They go to their job or they go to their business. They don't necessarily love it, but it's bringing them money. Right. They come home, they fight with the wife, they drink a bunch of wine, and then they just do it every day for decades, right? Yeah. But if you can get into a curiosity mode over judgment with yourself and with others, your employees, your spouse, it's not crazy or weird. It's interesting. Yes. Why is that? Am I getting up to work an extra 2 hours today for charity or is it going to make myself feel better? And all change begins with awareness. So get into a curiosity mode rather than a judgment mode and happiness will proceed. So in your opinion, what does money truly provide for individuals and families beyond the financial security? We talked about autonomy. What else does money provide beyond financial security in your opinion?
I think one of the biggest things that money provides is the optionality. It gives you options. And if you want to experience and go on vacation, it costs us a lot of money to go to Italy with 8 of us. There's 6 kids, ages 23 to 9, to get them on an airplane, to rent a car there, to stay in hotels. I wouldn't have had the same experience. I wouldn't have been able to do it without money. So I think the greater the options you have in life, the better the life you're going to be able to live.
And even further than that, that's for us personally. I think the things that you can do outside of the home, it sounds kind of cheesy, but it's real. Like there's an orphanage in Nicaragua that we do fund, like certain things like that, that we would never even think. We fund a lot of missionaries. And there's a lot of quiet stuff that we do that we don't promote because I think that's something good for us. A lot of times when we're promoting, it means that we just want you to say good job. You did a good job, you know, and a lot of times it's nice to do things and not let people know about it because that to me is true charity. So there is opportunity that we could never have done these things before.
And Brad, the last thing I think is important is the word legacy. I want to leave my money to my children and to my grandchildren. And I want to create that legacy. I want to be able to take some of the stresses off if they want to go to college, if they have the optionality. Obviously, we're creating estate planning and trust. I'm creating all that. And I'm creating my trust doc where I want my kids to read certain books. And that's why I've created the Jake and Gina Education. So they see the videos, they see the books that we've written. My wife has written 3 kids' books. So it's all intertwines in that. From that standpoint, I want to teach my kids about money and the power of money and what money can do for them and using it as a tool and not having the negative views that you had and that my wife had and that I had growing up. I think that's what I ultimately want money to do for our family and to leave it as a legacy.
And at the same time, we do teach the kids about money, but at the same time, I also don't want them to have any money. So they have to struggle.
Yes.
They have to fall.
Yeah, yes.
They have to get up. They have to figure it out. And so we do have different thoughts on that legacy, honestly, because yes, you want to leave your kids something, but at the same time, how much character and how much do you build by having nothing? Coming from nothing and being able to build something yourself is absolutely lessons we learned from that is ridiculous. And there was a part of me that are like, yeah, let the kids struggle. You know what I mean? So we struggle with that.
So Brad, I'm going to push back a little bit because kids go to college. If they're going to college and my kids are all phenomenal human beings. So to me, they deserve it. So I don't want them to incur student debt. I want them to go to college. A couple of them go to a private college. One of them is going to massage school right now. I paid it for her. I don't want her to incur debt. So if I can do that, that's an easy thing for me. Why not let them start on the right foot? My other child, I bought her a car. So she doesn't have that bill. I can afford to do that. But she truly appreciates that. She knows what goes into it. She's home now. I'm fixing the car for her. I'm paying for it because I know she's responsible with money. So that's what it allows me to do with my children. My children see how generous I am with money, but I know how responsible they are. Mm-hmm. So that you have to understand and know your kids.
That yes, you do have to know the kids.
Yeah, 100%. I'm not going to pay the college and have them go live in a dorm and party and get C minuses. The kids are really responsible. So
it's
I know
the responsibility,
so
you know, as parents.
So we have pushing to, back on
that's, okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
What's the foster home that you fund in Nicaragua?
It's part of the Franciscan Friars, the renewal. It is El Hogar. Yeah.
Okay. Because my daughter recently went, there's a gentleman named Pablo that's involved in a mastermind that we give a bunch of money in.
Wow.
Anyway, it was such a phenomenal experience as a 15-year-old. She went down a couple months ago. So back to legacy, isn't it a fine line? So, because there are people listening to this right now that's like, your kid's spoiled. Who's getting a car? What are you really teaching them? What's the fine line? Because I struggle with that too. I gave my son an old Lexus that's probably worth like $2,000 now, but it's still a luxury vehicle. And I struggle with that. Like, should I just get him an old beater? What is the fine line between giving and not showing that you have to work for something and, you know, not wanting to have debt or?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And I do feel that sometimes. So like, are my kids spoiled? And then we talk about it. Just like I said, it's that open communication with the kids. And you know your kids. It's not like they're saying, no, mom, I want a BMW. Why are you getting me this Jeep or whatever they have? And it's not that. You have to know your children. I mean, they are extremely responsible. They are, I mean, two of them are missionaries. Like, they work for nothing. Do you know what I mean? So there's something to it. You have to see the life they live. You have to see them actually give donations and give themselves their time to other organizations. And so that shows me everything. Like, I don't even have, I'm not worried about it. Maybe some of them down the line, maybe the younger ones, I'm not sure yet. And that's the thing. You have to know each of your children very well, and you have to have a very strong bond with them. And as of right now, we're three adults in the house. I would know in a second if they were spoiled. I would have that conversation, my husband and I,
so
for
Brad,
sure.
My son, when he was 16 years old, came to me, he had $5,000 in the bank. And he said to me, Dad, I want to buy an amp. I'm like, okay, how much is this amp? It was around $2,000. I'm like, you're going to spend 40% of your net worth to buy an amplifier for your guitar when you already have one. I said, no, I don't want you to buy one. So I put my foot down. It was his money. But I said, at 16 years old, you should make that decision. You don't understand the ramifications of that. You can invest that money. And ironically enough, 3 months later, I put him into a deal. $5,000 out. 5 years later, that $500,000 has grown into a $600,000 net worth. We've absolutely crushed it. I've changed this whole paradigm from Dad, I want to buy things, to Dad, when's the next deal? Mm-hmm. What are the owner draws? We're putting a 96 unit deal on the contract right now. And he said to me like a week ago, Dad, I think I'm going to go out and buy a gun. He loves guns. So I told him I'm putting the deal. And he said to me, well, I guess I'm not buying the gun now. So he understands the deal and investing the money to get a return. And the financial language, the ability to understand what seller financing is, the ability to understand owner draws, economic occupancy, physical occupancy, putting skin in the game. I think that's why I'm very comfortable with them, because they've understood and they've grown up in an entrepreneurial household where we talk openly about money. And money's not just about buying and getting things. It's really about being grateful, giving back, but also reinvesting your money and putting your money to work. So for us, like Julia said, you know, the first three kids, we were a little bit stricter early on. We didn't have as much. These last three, they do have a little bit more luxury around them. We're able to spend more money. So
but they also have, like, we as their parents are the example, mm-hmm. right? So the way we handle money, the way we view money, the way we talk about it, the way we spend it, they're watching. We could teach them anything we want. We could give them a book, we could give them a course. It doesn't matter at all. Actually, that will just forget that. It's how we talk about it, how we actually use it. They see that. And I think that it really is, as parents, we are their example and that they're going to follow what we do. So it's up to us to know, like we talked about earlier, our worth, our value, and then let them know as well by just loving them. Like, that's all kids really want, is to be loved by their parents. They don't want stuff. They really deep down don't want it. They just want our time. They want us to listen to them. They don't want us to bark our rules at them. It's the hardest thing as the mom and the dad is to sit and let them talk without giving them a lecture, without giving them a lesson, without giving them, here's what you're going to do. They just want to be heard. And I think sometimes as parents, we forget that part. And if we could just start doing that little by little, even if it's just like 3 minutes a day, what a difference in the relationship that you'll make.
It just came to me in this conversation that I grew up with people who had a lot of money. And I always thought it was the money that was the issue that caused the behavioral problems in the kids. But now, after doing this work for 2.5 years, I understand that their parents were absent. Mm-hmm. So they took on this, I didn't want the freaking money. I wanted my love of my parents. And so therefore they acted out. They got attention by acting out. So yeah, fascinating stuff. Money is a powerful thing. So let's end on one of my favorite things in the world, and that's books. You guys have written books. You have read tons of books. Tell me about a book, because you mentioned one earlier. Maybe we can either go deeper into that. What is one book that you think has had the most influence on yourself and your family?
Well, I'm going to go with my books. Is that terrible?
That's
horrible. I know. I have 3 little kid books. And it's funny because I wrote them really for us, for the parents, because it's teaching the kids responsibility. It's Cannolis Exploded. It's The Gelato Blast and Pizza with a Purpose. And it really just talks about responsibility. If something bad happens, you have options. It's not just one way. You have options. We have to teach our kids that it's just not, okay, something bad happens, don't freak out. Let's sit and talk about what we can do about it. Just being responsible and knowing our purpose in life, that we were created for a reason. And just that alone, we don't ever have to wonder why we're here. And so it's just that conversation starter with children, because we miss out on many opportunities with our little guys because we don't know what to talk about. And so that's why we wrote these little kid books.
I'll give you 4 quick ones, Brad.
Here we go.
Quick ones. Richest Man in Babylon, for anyone starting out, an amazing, easy book. Even I can read the book in a day. Mindset by Carol Dweck, Mindset and Growth Mindset. Stephen Covey, The 7 Habits. I read that 20 years ago, didn't understand it. I read it 3 or 4 years ago. Inspirational, motivational, amazing book, and The Psychology of Money. If you don't understand the relationship you have with money, you're doomed to make mistakes. If you don't know whether you have a great relationship with yourself or with the money, you're not going to repel it. You just need to understand what your relationship is with money. That psychology book, it doesn't talk about investing. It talks more about what you're trying to get out of it. Can you go to sleep at night thinking about your investments? If you're not a risk taker and you're taking risks, is that the right thing to do with your money? Well, you don't know that answer until you start diving into your own psychology and what your relationship is with money.
Love it. So if someone wants to buy those books, or someone wants to invest in a deal, or just reach out to you guys, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Just go to jakeandgino.com. Brad, we've got a couple podcasts. I'd love them to get on the Julie and Gino show, because Julian and myself, we launch a podcast every 2 weeks. We've had Dr. Gary Chapman on the podcast from the 5 Love Languages. We've had priests on. We've had storytellers on. We've had a lot of people from Dr. Gary Chapman's corner. It's about family and relationship. That's what the show is about.
It's so healthy. Communication. I always say, if you want to fix your relationship, start a podcast with your spouse.
I have an idea kind of thing, yeah. Brad. You know what I mean? You're working too much, Gino, but I've got an idea.
So good ideas. Sometimes I struggle. These are the things I sit and think about. Do I talk about it with you? Do I mention it? Yeah. I'm like, more work, but okay. It's good. You're doing
Bring
a good
it,
job.
I love that. It made me think of something I say all the time. If you want to fix your relationship, fix the relationship you have with yourself, because yes. It's hardly ever the problem in the actual relationship. Mm-hmm. It's the relationship each individual has with their individual selves. And man, when I figured that out, did my life ever change?
100% true.
You guys, this has been an absolute blast. I so thank you for coming on. And man, you really dropped some gold nuggets today. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Brad. And awesome. Once again, yeah. What was the quiz? Where can we get that quiz?
Yeah, bradchandler.com/quiz. It may be the 3 minutes that literally starts to change your life and your relationships and your health and everything. So go ahead and take that quiz at bradchandler.com/quiz. And that concludes another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. If you like it, a lot of people could probably use this information. So please share it, review it, rate it, and we will see you on the next show. Till next time, love heals all.
Thank you.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.